when you tell your granddaughter you're going to be leaving to go preach and she hugs you bye, I don't know what kind of sermon she might be expecting this morning. But anyhow, we are so happy that you're here today. Appreciate the way you've joined in our worship. As we saw in our scripture reading this morning, on one occasion the apostles listened to Jesus discuss how difficult it was for an individual to get to heaven. In fact, Jesus painted a word picture when he said it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a certain kind of individual to get to heaven. The apostles then responded with a question. Who then can be saved? Now, since that question was asked by the apostles, there's been a variety of answers given. But I find the best way to answer that question, who then can be saved, is to go to the one who truly knows the answer. 1 Timothy chapter 2 tells us that God would have all men to be saved. And so if anybody knows the answer to the question, who then can be saved, it must come from God Himself, who wants all people to be saved. So I'm going to ask you this morning to open up your Bibles with me while together we turn to a series of verses that employ the words, shall be saved. And we're going to see a very simple, if not simplistic, answer to that question, who then can be saved? It's an answer that comes from God Himself. First of all, turn with me to Mark chapter 16 and verse 16. And of course, this is Mark's account of the Great Commission. Verse 15 says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And then in verse 16, Jesus says, he that believes and is baptized, and here's our phrase, shall be saved. He that does not believe shall be condemned. Note, if you will, the universal nature of that passage. Who is going to be condemned? He, that is anybody who does not believe. Well, who then can be saved? Jesus Himself speaking, as recorded by the Holy Spirit through Mark, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. I want you to note, if you will, the conjunction and there, as it's very, very important. This verse does not say to those of us who emphasize baptism, he that is baptized shall be saved. This verse does not say to those who maybe try to minimize baptism, he that believes shall be saved. Rather, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. And so then today, who shall be saved? Well, to be saved, an individual has to believe in Jesus. That's why Romans 5 and verse 1, the Bible says we're justified by faith. But equally so, we must not only believe with an obedient faith, that obedient faith in Jesus must compel us to be baptized in the way the Bible teaches. Now that's why Peter wrote in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21 that baptism does now save us. Now I want to challenge you to go to 1 Peter 3 and verse 21. You know, if you were to happen to mark through just one letter, the letter W, and in marking through that letter, put the letter T, make that verse say, baptism does not save us. Well, all you've done is just change one simple letter. Is that what Peter said? You know that's not what Peter said. Baptism does now save us. I must believe, I must be baptized if I want to be saved. A second passage, though, turn with me to John chapter 10. Let's read together in verse 9. In this particular passage, Jesus likens himself to a shepherd overseeing a group of people that belongs to him, his sheep. And in John 10 and verse 9, Jesus said, "I am the door." Now, in Bible times, a shepherd would find himself with his flock out in the field at night. And the shepherd would find a place that would be surrounded by hills and mountains with an open place. And the shepherd would herd his flock into that open space surrounded by those hills and mountains. And he would lay down in the entrance of that open space. He would provide protection for the sheep. The shepherd literally became the door. The sheep could not make an exit from safety without going over the shepherd, the door. Danger could not make its way into the flock without again going over the shepherd, the door. And so Jesus says here, "I am the door. By me, if any man," and here's our phrase, "shall be saved, he shall go in and out and shall find pasture." Now, if I continue to read this context, Jesus likens himself to a shepherd over his sheep. You know, which reminds us of other verses in the New Testament that describe, yes, the New Testament church as the flock or the sheep of God. You know, verses like Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, where Paul said to those elders, "Take heed therefore to yourselves and all the flock over which the Holy Spirit hath made you overseers to shepherd the church, the flock of God, which he purchased with his own blood." You know, the flock that belongs to the Lord is the church. The called out people that belongs to the Lord. But John 10, verses 9 and following, teach us if we want to be saved, we must belong to the flock. And so I must believe and be baptized so the Lord will add me to his flock, the church. Yes, if I want to be saved, I must belong to the Lord's church. Not a church that was created by man. Not a church that has evolved itself away toward man from the church that God Himself established. I must belong to the church that belongs to Jesus. That's why Ephesians 5 and verse 23 says that Jesus is the head of the church, being himself the Savior of the body. Church, body, Jesus the head, the Savior of his people. You want to claim Jesus as your Savior today? You want to be saved? Then you must belong to his flock, his church. But now turn with me to Acts chapter 2, and there we're going to note verse 21. Here we find the Apostle Peter using a passage from the Old Testament to launch that great sermon on Pentecost. Peter said in verse 21 of Acts chapter 2, "And it shall come to pass that whosoever calls on the name of the Lord," here's our phrase, "shall be saved." Well, who can be saved? Those that call on the Lord. Well, what's that all about? Well, if I continue to read Acts chapter 2, the first thing that Peter does in this great sermon is to identify the Lord. He points to Jesus as the one approved of God by works and miracles, verse 22. Again, Jesus, who was crucified by the Jews through the hands of the Romans, verse 23. Again, Jesus, who was raised from the dead by God, verses 24 through 32. Yes, Jesus Christ, who is exalted on the right hand of God, verses 33 and 34. And thus the conclusion, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Well, who then can be saved? Those that call on the Lord. Who is the Lord? Jesus, who was crucified by the Jews. Jesus, who was raised up by the power of God. Now, those who initially heard that then asked the question, they cried out, what must we do? And then they were told what to do, to call on the name of the Lord. Peter said in verse 38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins. Who shall be saved? Those that call on the Lord. The Lord is Jesus, and to call upon the Lord, we must repent and we must be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. Who shall be saved? Those who repent, those who change the way they live on behalf of Jesus and are immersed in water for the forgiveness of sins, thus calling on the name of the Lord. Now, thus far, we've seen that we must believe and be baptized. We must repent and be baptized. We must repent and be baptized, and thus added to the flock that belongs to Jesus if we want to be saved. These are the words of God Himself. And oh, how simple these words are. But now turn with me to Acts chapter 11. In Acts chapter 11, the Apostle Peter reflects upon the conversion of Cornelius and his household. And of course, we know that there were Jews who were questioning as to why Peter would even go and visit with the Gentiles. Why would Peter even lower himself to go to Cornelius? And why he would ever go about teaching the Gentiles instead of the Jews? And so Peter has to defend his efforts. And in that defense, we find in Acts 11 and verse 14, Peter alluding to what Cornelius was told to do by an angel. Cornelius was told to fetch Peter. And what was Peter going to do? Who shall speak to you words whereby you, and here's our phrase, shall be saved? Who then can be saved? Well, all I need to do is to go back and see the words that Peter spoke to Cornelius and to find out who can be saved and what we need to do to be saved. What words did Peter speak to Cornelius and his household? Well, back in chapter 10 of the book of Acts, we find his sermon in verses 35 through 43. Note just verse 43 for the sake of time. Verse 43 says, to him, Jesus, all the prophets witnessed that through his name, whosoever believes in him will receive remission of sins. What did Peter tell Cornelius to do? He said, believe for the forgiveness of sins. But is that all he told Cornelius to do? Is that going to be the conclusion of the words by which Cornelius is going to be saved? Well, we think not. You know, Peter's sermon then is interrupted by the coming of the Holy Spirit on Cornelius and his household. It happened the same way the Holy Spirit came upon the apostles in Acts chapter 2. And this is because this is a very special occasion. For the very first time, the gospel is being opened to the Gentile race. And to give emphasis to that, there was the baptismal measure of the Holy Spirit that was given to Cornelius and his household. Now, once that's accomplished, Peter again begins to speak. And notice what he said. Verse 48. He commanded them. What? He commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. He said the very same thing to Cornelius and his household as he did in Acts chapter 2. Be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. Why? For the remission of sins. You believe and you will have remission of your sins if your faith is obedient to the point that you obey the command to be baptized, because that's what baptism is for. Now remember, these are the words by which they were to be saved. Believe and be baptized for the remission of sins. They had to hear that in order to be saved. Now let's not forget Acts 15 verse 11, where Peter again reflects on the conversion of these people. And he says that we believe, and here's our phrase, that we shall be saved by the grace of the Lord Jesus in like manner as they. You see here the love, mercy, kindness of Jesus that made the scheme of redemption possible to Cornelius and his household. And when they believed on Jesus to the point of obeying the command to be baptized, their sins were forgiven. They were saved from their past. You see the wonderful grace of Jesus allowing us to believe and repent and be baptized for the remission of sins, because of which we are added to the New Testament church and we become a member of the flock of Jesus in order to be saved. But now turn to Romans chapter 5, talking about the grace of Jesus. We turn to Romans chapter 5 and we read together verses 8 through 10. The Bible says, "But God demonstrates His own love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having been justified by His blood," here's our phrase, "we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if when we were sinners, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more, having been reconciled," here's our phrase, "we shall be saved by His life." Now I want you to note very carefully what you have here. You have the blood, the death of Jesus Christ, His crucifixion. You also have the post-resurrection ministry and life of Jesus Christ, His continuing intercession. His crucifixion, His intercession, which combined to make salvation possible. You see, without Jesus Christ, there is no one to believe in. Without Jesus Christ, there's no one to change our life for. Without Jesus Christ, baptism is an exercise in mere futility. Without baptism, without Jesus Christ, the church is just a hybrid spiritual social club. But with Jesus Christ, we believe in the Son of God. We change our lives to live for Him. We are baptized to be forgiven by His blood and sacrifice so that we can belong to the church that belongs to Him. But consider not only Romans chapter 5, look at Romans chapter 10. Verses 9 and 10. There the Bible says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, here's our phrase, you shall be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Who then can be saved? Those who with the mouth confess their faith in Jesus as the Son of God. Believe, repent, confess, be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. The Lord will add you to His people, the church, His flock, where salvation is located. One last verse, though, today. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. This is a very difficult verse sometimes. It's a context that's difficult to grab hold of. But notice 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 15, where the Bible says, if anyone's work is burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself, here's our phrase, shall be saved, yet so as through fire. Now, if I place this verse back into the surrounding verses, I understand that our converts, those that I bring to Jesus, those that you bring to Jesus, our converts are placed into two broad categories. You know, Paul bears reference to people who are like gold and silver and costly stones. You know, you place those elements into the fire and they're somewhat refined. But then Paul alludes to folks who are like wood and hay and stubble. You place those elements into the fire and they're consumed. People are like that. Those that we convert and bring to Jesus are like that. You know, there are some who are going to experience the fiery trials and tribulations of life, and like wood and hay and stubble, they'll be consumed. Their Christianity sadly won't last, and they'll give up on Jesus. There are others who will face the fiery trials of life, and they're going to be like gold and silver and costly stones. They're going to be refined. They're going to sparkle. They're going to come to life. They're going to prove themselves to be true. And with that thought in mind, Paul says, if any man's work, if his converts to Jesus are burned, if they're like wood and hay and stubble, if they leave Jesus because of this trouble, the one who converted them shall suffer loss. It hurts. It hurts when, you know, we lead somebody to Jesus and they give up the faith. They turn their back on the Lord. They don't remain true. But He, that is the one who converts these folks, shall be saved, though as through fire. When I convert somebody to Jesus, if they leave the Lord because of difficulties, that's not going to have any impact on my salvation. But I must endure the fire of tribulation as well if I want salvation to be mine. Paul is telling me in this passage, if I want to be saved, I have to remain faithful to the Lord. Yes, it is believe in Jesus. It is repent to change our lives for Jesus. It is confess before others our faith in Jesus. It's being baptized in Jesus to be forgiven of our sins so that we can be added by Jesus to the church that belongs to Him. And once we've done that, if we remain faithful to Jesus, we shall be saved. He's known as the father of romanticism and literature, Jean-Jacques Rousseau, he lived a tormented life. He always wondered, am I saved or am I lost? Oh, how that tormented this man. And so ultimately in this life, he came to a time when he tried to determine whether he was predestined to be saved or predestined to be lost. And he determined that he was going to pick up a stone and he was going to find a tree and he would throw that stone at that tree. And in his mind, he said, if that stone hits the tree, I'm saved. If the stone misses the tree, I'm lost. And reflecting on this particular gesture, he said, I found one of the largest trees that I could find, as close to me as I could find it, and with pinpoint accuracy, I threw that stone and hit the tree. He said, from that moment on, I've known that I'm saved. Now, folks, there are people that will tell you that all you need to do is believe in Jesus. All you need to do is repent of your past. You know, just accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and invite Jesus Christ into your heart. You know, just pray this sinner's prayer and you shall be saved. This morning, we've turned to every verse in the New Testament that employs the phrase shall be saved in reference to salvation, and you didn't find that anywhere. But what you did find was believe, repent, confess, be baptized, so that you as a member of the church can have the hope of salvation through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. We go back again to the apostles' question. Who then shall be saved? Could the answer to that question possibly be you this morning? While together we stand and sing.